Hi, my name is Juliet Campassi, and I'm the Learning Solutions Project Executive at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to our After COVID-19 series, where we explore whether there will be a new normal. This episode provides a summary of the webinar, Invisible Work, Making It Visible. Our guest, Jan Hawkins, a leading figure in the global understanding of work, explains that now that traditional workplace structures and expectations have gone, power lies with individuals rather than in the boardroom. The subjective or invisible work we do in our heads can be done anywhere. Hello, John.
Hi.
In this episode, we're focusing on invisible work. And would you like to tell us what invisible work is and its main characteristics?
Yes. Invisible work has, I think, three main characteristics. It's very personal, and it starts in deep privacy. It always starts with someone thinking something and or wanting to think about something. It's cognitive. It is about thinking and has a bit of an emotional element to it, a bit of emotional dimension to it. It's not manual or physical. It's in the brain. And thirdly, it's very subjective. It's about my opinion, not versus your opinion, but oh, maybe versus your opinion. My opinion commenting on your opinion. It's also nomadic in the sense that I can use my brain, develop my thoughts, have my thoughts, think about your thoughts wherever I am. Doesn't mean I can do all my work sitting on the beach or wherever I want to be, but I can do an awful lot of it wherever I happen to be. And our thoughts go on working all the time, and we may be struck by a thought that is useful wherever we happen to be. And linked to that, the fifth characteristic is that ideas are never-ending and invisible work is never-ending. And while I am thinking about my ideas and your ideas, I may remember something that somebody said. I may not quite remember who said it. I may remember it wrongly, incorrectly. It doesn't matter. If it helps me to develop my ideas, it helps me to persuade you, then it's useful to me in my work. So those five characteristics: it's personal, cognitive, subjective, nomadic, and never-ending.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, John. So how do we bring our invisible work into the world?
Invisible work is how we develop ideas and how we make a difference. And part of that process is what we call creativity and innovation. And in a sense, to do it well, we have to be aware of two different phases. The first phase is purely invisible. And I can look at somebody else, I can look at you, and I have no idea what you're thinking. I don't even know whether you're thinking something about work or something else completely different. And then there is the making visible, what I call going visible. And we have then to conceptualize the ideas. We have to frame the ideas, we have to give them a name, we have to give them a definition, and we have to describe them. And in my book, I go through those four stages and show the benefits of each one and how we can use each one to promote our idea. It seems to me that lockdowns happening around the world, we're going through the biggest experiment in working at home, and that for most people means working on their own, that the world has ever seen. And it started in this country, in the UK, in March. It starts in different countries at different times. I was talking to some colleagues of mine in China. They locked down in February, and they were there February, March, April, May. People living at home, questioning their work, questioning why they liked it or didn't like it, questioning the purpose of it. Was it meaningful to them? Questioning their relationship to their colleagues, their teammates, questioning their role in the company, and questioning their need to go to the office, if going to the office or the warehouse or the workplace is what they do. And although I say they're doing it mostly on their own, they're often talking to one person or two people, they're talking to their partners. And very often it's the first time the partners have seen each other actually at work. If they've got children, they're probably talking to their children. It's the first time that the children have ever seen their parents at work. And they're saying, you know, is that what you do? Is that sort of all you do? And wow, that doesn't look very interesting. Or, you know, why are you in a bad mood now? Why are you in a good mood now? So we're going through this sort of through isolation in our families and households. And of course, some people working on their own. We're going through an intense period of self-examination. And I think as we go through this period, we're going to think of work in new ways that I think will give a push to invisible work, because we will be thinking about it in personal ways. We'll be thinking about it in terms of our brain work, the cognitive emotional effort, and we'll be having opinions about how we want to do our work and how we might be able to do our work better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very interesting. Thank you, John. So my last question here is, how do we hire, develop, and reward invisible workers in the new normal?
That's a really interesting question. How I think recruiting is critically important. How do we find people? How do we recruit them? How do we hire them? What's the deal we do with them? How do we measure their work? And how do we reward them? The search for talent has to be done on a very personal basis. It has to be someone who is good at what they do, looking for someone else who is equally good at what they do in an area that they can't do themselves, but they know enough of to know who is good at it and who is not good at it. This is why I talk about domains, because we tend to work within the same domain most of our lives, because that's the only way to get to know enough people in that domain to ensure that we get enough work. We can't turn up, knock on the door of a completely strange domain and expect to be hired. It doesn't work like that. In terms of rewards, remuneration, benefits, again, it has to be done on a personal basis. And I realize that the solution, the key solution to a sensible appreciation and measurement and an appropriate reward was always done on a one-to-one negotiation. It is almost the only thing left in business, in organizations, that is done one-to-one. I say elsewhere that we should have more one-to-one conversations. We tend now, everything is done in teams. But we do have one-to-ones for negotiation of pay. I think it's a very, very good idea. And I would urge anybody who is worried about their level of remuneration or reward or appreciation or their position in the company to try and get a one-to-one conversation. If you have a one-to-one, you can be much more open and speak much more powerfully about who you are, and the other person on the other side of the table will recognize that. And I know this is against so many people who say that grades and templates and yes, for some jobs, but if you want to do invisible work, it's got to be personal and it's got to be measured against personal criteria.
Brilliant. Thank you, John. Listeners can find further resources, including John's webinar, on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. Also, John is happy to answer any questions you may have. You can contact him at john@johnhawkins.com.